This is Power Athlete Radio. With your host, Denny K, Professor Booty, and the Luke Summers. And now, toes forward, hips locked, shoulders set, and retract those scapulas. It's time for some knowledge bombs.
Power Athlete Radio. This week, we are rebroadcasting a very special episode of Power Athlete Radio. If you didn't get the chance to hear our conversation with Freddie Camacho and China Cho, you will not want to miss this. Freddie, known to us at HQ as the Commissioner of Fun, talks about training with China through 2014 and their experiences at regionals. No Freddie rant would be complete without voicing his frustrations with so-called coaches taking a cheerleader approach to leading groups. We also get to retroactively hear about the training that led China to the CrossFit Games. Her mental approach to the high level of competition is quite unique. Find out why she would gladly do one-arm wall balls just to make it through the qualifying workouts and to see the smile on her father's face. Let's take a stroll down memory lane with two of our favorite competitors of the 2015 CrossFit Games. Here is a rebroadcast of episode 70 from August 2014.
What's up, Power Athletes? Welcome to episode 70 of Power Athlete Radio. This is Denny. I'm joined with Luke and Levi out at Power Athlete HQ. What's happening, guys?
What's up, Denny?
What is up?
Callie and freaking Tex are gone, huh? They're out there, like, just traveling the world.
Yeah, Callie is out in Sydney. They had a seminar in Western Australia, which I've never been to. Word on the street is it was one of the better shows, but not quite the best show. The leading actor wasn't there. Funniest, the best hair, best shoes, best dressed. But and then she's doing a little backpacking trip to go visit her brother in Bali, and so she's on the road and enjoying. Dude, I remember being down under and trying to get some work done, and we stayed a couple extra days because Ben and I did a back-to-back weekend. We did a certain Sydney. It was 3 weekends. We did a certain Sydney, then we did an Occupy or a team series. I think it was team series at that time. I can't remember. It's either team series or Occupy Strength in Newcastle. And then out in the third weekend, we did a seminar in Auckland, New Zealand. So we were gone for like 2.5 weeks. And I truly thought that I was going to be able to like go to a coffee shop, fire up the computer and get the whole Occupy Strength or team series deal organized. And it was a fucking mess. Australia has the worst internet setup out of any country I've been to. And they pay like, $10 a fucking megabyte. It's crazy down there, dude. It's like, remember like the old cell phone plans where you're like, no, don't tax me. That's like 70 cents. That's what they have going on down there. But I digress. So timely little announcement. And Callie asked me to get on the show, and she's running the team series. But we've made an executive decision. We've leaned out the event a bit, and we're going to pack the whole thing into a Saturday event. So competitors just got a little email. Sponsors are on board. Speaking of sponsors, that's where John is today. He's meeting up with Vitargo to talk about what we're doing with sponsorship here and what we can do in the future. So expect to hear a little bit more on Vitargo, and I want to thank those guys, I guess, for helping make this whole team series thing possible. But it's gonna rock. We got a workout posting Friday/tomorrow/the podcast. If you're listening tomorrow, it's today, and then if you're listening Saturday, it was yesterday. So just head over to our Facebook, Instagram, everything. It's gonna be all linked up. You'll know. You'll be able to find it. And if you can't find it, head over to powerathletehq.com to see what the workouts are for this team series. It's going to be killer. It's going to be great. I'm excited. So
yeah, I am too, man. It's looking badass. So shit, dude, we got some great guests today. We got Freddie and China joining us for episode 70. China fresh off the 2014 CrossFit Games where she kicked some ass.
Definitely, dude.
And then Freddie, what's Freddie's official title? The Power Athlete
Director of Fun.
Director of Fun. director of Frun.
Bun. Not Frun. Frun, that's what Levi does. Levi's the director of Frun.
Exactly.
Freddy's the director of Good Times.
So what's happening, guys?
Hey, Danny, I thought for sure that you were going to say Freddy and China Cho, because that's kind of pretty much where I'm at these days.
Well, it's still Freddy C, which is nice, because the name
I'm running with a new hashtag now. It's hashtag has been.
But hashtag has been.
But you know, it's better than hashtag never was.
Yeah, that's
this
very
is true, right? This is
true. so we have a little live Q&A. Ingo, our buddy Jeff Lee, has already dropped a question for us.
Of course.
All right. So this is to Hi Freddy, Hi China, in all caps. So yes. China was in all caps.
That is how I roll, all caps.
And then question for Freddy. While chasing a perp, have you ever slid across the hood of a car?
I have never slipped across the hood of a car, but a funny story once, a guy got away from me on a Razor.
The Razor scooter?
Yes.
Was it battery powered or was it at least kicking?
No, we were foot pursuit, and then he grabbed some little kid's Razor when we were running through this park and hit a street and was gone. And I applauded him because that was quite a good move.
But I thought, don't SWAT boots have like the little rollers that kick out?
With rocket.
Oh, legit. And then I save the second one until I might as well go into it. Second question. When first onto the scene, have you ever chased a suspect into a dark abandoned building yelling, "No time for backup," to your young yet hesitant partner with unusually perfect teeth? I don't know what the hell that means, but
I don't know either, man. Ingo is a strange dude. But he is the most excellent DJ on the planet.
Absolutely.
Plug that.
Yeah, for sure, dude. It was, and that's one thing. I'm in charge of Neil, who's our Midwest host, because that's the guy I trained with for a team series. And one of the line items that's like an optional type deal is DJ.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I think last year NorCal's definitely were Ingo DJ'd that event, the team series last year, and it changed the whole fucking thing, man. It changed the whole experience, and now like I'm just on Neil, like, dude, we got to find somebody, because a good DJ knows how to really control the energy, and he definitely channeled, like, it was crazy. It was amazing.
Yeah, now he's so awesome. What I really love about it is he knows when it needs to be loud,
when it needs to be volume, when it needs to be down.
Yeah. I mean, like, he's spot on. He's spot on. Man, we're really stroking him today, aren't we?
Yeah, but he's not that funny, so that's
important. He's probably running around his living room right now with, like, stripping off his clothes and excited as can be.
I think he's doing it at work.
All the better.
But all right, so let's barrel forward. We get, as always, Denny puts together a very detailed timeline that we very rarely adhere to. Denny, what do we got?
Well, I thought maybe we can just kind of start with what's new with Freddy and China. What was China? You know, what was your experience like at the 2014 games?
Just in general, or in comparison to when I went the first time?
Yeah, let's start with there. You're in the comparison between when you went the first time to recently.
First time was pretty amateur league compared to this time, in the sense that we showed up the day before to the Home Depot Center. They gave us like a bag with a water bottle, like a wristband, and a T-shirt. And they were like, "All right, see you tomorrow. Just be here." I'm like, okay. And then this year, we have to show up a week in advance. We have ESPN interviews. We got a photo shoot. We got clothes fitting, shoes fitting, headband fitting, shit I've never even seen before fitting. And nice. We got a ton of stuff. And it was insane. Like, biggest ordeal I've ever been to. So it went from, like, here's a T-shirt and a water bottle to here's a wardrobe that'll last you a year.
So you're decked out. Do you still wear a lot of the stuff?
No, because it was all too big.
Did you all go your it. Size you first?
Everything in. But I love it. I could still wear some of it.
Yeah, so you didn't tell them child small.
Dude, seriously. I got, like, child's not small. Really, really big stuff.
So Reebok hooked us up with a bunch of gear, which we still wear quite a bit, you know, the shoes and the Nanos and some of that stuff. But I'll tell you what, I don't know what I think they also gave us overstock, because when we got this stuff, there was like these weird, for dudes, hot pink camouflage, like skin guards. I've never seen this.
But you would rock those. Yeah, that's very like, you.
But it was baggy. You know, my skin guard's going to be tight, you know, show off my tapered figure. But some of the stuff in there was pretty questionable. And then the shorts were XLs, but I tell you what, they were even big on John. So I guess
sizing is a little bit different. I think that's why my uniform stuff got messed up. But I'm not going to lie. Their stuff is awesome. I love their compression. I love their shoes. I love their sport. Like, everything has gotten a million times better every single year.
Well, I think that's for, and I'm not like a fashion fucking, I am not a fashion connoisseur, but the chick stuff looks really good, really good.
I think
it really complements the figure of a CrossFit chick and like a fit chick. Some of the guy stuff, I don't know, like, I guess we're really just a utility fucking piece of meat, but I think that what they're doing with a lot of the female stuff is really, really hitting exactly what chicks want.
I agree with that, definitely.
So, all right, well, let's get into the real deal. So outside of registration, how would you compare and contrast the two events?
Oh, man, it was insane. Like, I would even say regionals was more crazy than the 2010 CrossFit Games. I mean, nothing against it. It was the first year they had it at the Home Depot Center. But you literally just went out there. There were like 50 people watching, and then you went back in. It just felt like a local competition this year. I mean, they staged us. We had to make sure to turn right here and turn left down this stand and face this direction while you do this and then turn this direction. Like, it was just such a big ordeal that, like, at one point, I even forgot what workout we were doing. I'm like, oh, shit, go left. No, go right. Oh, shit, no, face this. Nah, what workout am I doing? Crap. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, dude.
It sounds like
a little bit overwhelming, but in a totally cool way.
Does it throw you off like your mental approach? I mean, if you're going out there, you're focused, you're ready to do this workout, and then they're throwing all this other crap at you, it's kind of like, damn, just let me work out.
No, well, a little bit. I guess that's the unknown and unknowable element this year too, huh? Turn left, turn right, turn straight. I don't know. Yeah,
your ability to follow the roadmap.
Exactly. Yeah, no, but I mean, overall, I thought it was great. I thought the judging was great. I thought the events were actually really, really awesome, even though I did shitty in some. I mean, they were very well-rounded. I liked it a lot. I thought the programming was good. I wasn't wrecked after. I mean, overall, it was such a great experience.
What do you think, how would I word this? Like, recently in some of these podcasts, we've been going over, like, the mental approach an athlete takes for their given sport. So could you talk a little bit maybe about the differences, like when you went through the open and then you went in the regionals, you found out you got your ticket to go to the games. I mean, what approach did you take? Calm and collective, or were you on edge the whole entire time?
For me, I would say I'm a pretty calm and collected type person. Like, I don't get super frazzled when it comes time to compete. I feel like I'm very relaxed. Going through the open, it was a little different this year because I actually did it with someone that was way better than me. I started training with Neil, so this is the first time I actually did the open with someone that like lapped me in workouts. So I feel like I pushed a little bit harder in the open than I normally do and took it a little more seriously. And this was by far the highest placing I had in all opens that I've done. And then, I mean, when it came to regionals, it was like, God, I've come so close. You know, I kind of had a really weird mental attitude just because the workouts I felt were so not in my favor of the past 3 years. This was a year that I was like, man, these workouts are not good for me. You know, I felt like 2012 was probably my best year. Like, I should have made it then based on the workouts. 2013 was a little bit better than this past year. And I was like, oh shit, I'm going to have to work really, really hard to like even be in the top five, you know?
So, yeah.
I felt really, I was like nervous, but I think that not feeling the pressure of it being wheelhouse workouts kind of worked in my favor more than I thought. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And then,
you know, like you get really nervous with things that you're good at because you're expected to do really, really well. Like if I were a gymnast, I'd be freaking the fuck out, you know? But yeah. I'm not particularly great at gymnastics or all, like I never handstand walked before until they announced it, you know? So I was like, well, you know, I mean.
It's interesting that you said that you would feel that there's more pressure with workouts that you're good at, because I would think if these workouts come in and you're good at them, it would kind of take some of the pressure off because you're like, oh man, I got this, you know, but those other workouts that are posted and you're like, fuck, you know, I don't feel like I didn't put in enough time to kind of work on those skills. I'm going to struggle at those. And you're kind of saying it was a little bit of the opposite.
Yeah. For me, it's funny. It was kind of the opposite. I was like, what's a workout I'm good at? I guess like Amanda, I'm pretty good at. When that workout comes up, I'm like, oh crap, I have to do well. Like I'm good at these movements. You know what I mean? Like people expect me to do well. You know what I'm so
right then and there, you got this burden you're carrying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when the games came, I mean, God, it felt almost unreal still the entire time. Like I've been trying for so long to get back that I was like, every regionals, I go home crying. Oh, what am I going to do different this year? Oh man, I fucked up that long workout again. Oh man. And this year I'm like, oh shit, I made it. What do I do now? Oh God, I got to train hard, you know? So yeah. It was kind of weird. Like I trained really hard leading up to the game, but I didn't feel a lot of pressure at the game.
Freddie, what in hindsight, when you kind of look back at that, what are some of the things that stood out in your mind as far as like somebody wanting to support an athlete or, you know, a spouse or partner in, you know, in an event like that? I mean, what are some of the things that you found that you were doing to help her out?
Well, it's like it's been a journey since 2010 trying to get back. You know what I mean? She worked with John that first year, so John was there helping out, or those first 2 years, and then she worked with Amy for, you know, a year, and then kind of did her own little thing for the Open this year. Like for me, the Open isn't a big deal for her. I was happy to see her having training with Neil and pushing, but I think for anyone that's supporting somebody who's in the upper ranks of being a really good CrossFit games competitor, it's the regional, man. Regional is just so fucking stressful. It's unreal. Like, I mean, I am so like just a train wreck. And it was cool that like I got to see her do the workout so many times before regionals came about. And we watched all the regionals leading up to the NorCal one. So kind of knew what to expect. But it's just a stressful thing. I mean, that the regional is everything because it's make or break. You know what I mean? You make it or you don't make it. And after that, it's over. And it's another long season until you get another crack at it. So I'm sure that every person that's with somebody that's man or women, whether it's your, you know, for the top man or the top women, it's, you know, you're there through the thick and thin of all of that. And it's just stressful as fuck. Once you got to the games, it's just like, I just want to see her do great, but I want to see her have a good time and enjoy the moment. You know what I mean? So regionals is the fucking mind fuck.
So am I taking the correct assessment in the fact that Freddie, you got a worse beating than China did this game season?
Yeah, no, it's true. I worked way harder. You know what's funny though? The funny story about regionals is that like she was killing it day one, just freaking rocking. She took first and I think like fourth in the world or something in the rope climb, and she was going into that 50s the next morning, and it's the 50s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we go show up the thing, she's like tied for first or in first or
second
or second place or something. I'm all like, man, she's killing it this year, this is great. And then all of a sudden she goes out to warm up for the 50s workout, and within like 3 minutes, she walks up to me because we had to stand on the outside because we didn't allow them to stand next to the athletes. We had to stand out of the area. And she comes up to me and she's fucking bawling. And I'm like, what the hell? Why are you crying? And she's like, I can't lift my arms up over my head. I can't catch the wall ball. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We're like, you're in second place right now and you can't do a wall ball? Like, you got to be kidding me. And we drag her right out of the warm-up area, right into the first aid area. Luckily hooked up with a great freaking chiropractor PT guy. Turns out she popped a rib out of place on, I think she did it on Friday. I don't think she did it on Saturday. She did it on Friday. So the rib was out of place. All the muscles around it were totally inflamed. So they popped it in place. They worked on her the whole time. She didn't even warm up. I mean, that time I went to the bathroom. I almost started crying. I was just like, fuck, she did this part again. And now we're going to miss out again. And then the workout started. Everybody's cheering and going crazy cheering for her. And I had to wait till she got to the wall balls. And when she got to the wall balls, she just flipped the switch and ground right through. And as soon as she started nailing all those wall balls, I was like, man, she's going back to the games this year. I like knew right there and then that she was gone. So it was pretty awesome.
So Freddie or China, was your rib still bothering you in the event? And you just kind of mind over matter?
It was so bad. I mean, it was like almost one of the worst like pains I've ever had in my life. It was literally adrenaline. Like, I don't know if most people know that listen, but I mean, it was A, I wanted to make it back. B, I just found out my dad has stage 4 cancer and he had a time span of 2 months to 10 years, which is like not very cool.
Right.
That's a really big difference, 2 months, 10 years. And all he wanted me to do was go back, you know? And so it's like, well, shit, I better do it now, you know? Even if my arm falls off and I do a one-arm wall ball, it has to happen. So the combination of like adrenaline, making it back for him and all that stuff, like, sorry, plays into that.
No, definitely, definitely.
Good job, Luke. You made her cry.
Shut up.
Heart of a champion. But, you know, we had Hatfield on, and he talked a lot about passion, you know, and just all those outside factors.
Oh, that was my favorite. Oh, that post you guys did on passion, by the way. That was
great. Yeah, and totally exuding it here. And I think – you know, that's what a lot of people in this CrossFit thing, that people make it look so easy. I mean, like China, even you, when you're out there, I know it fucking sucks because I fucking suck at CrossFit, but you guys make it look so easy and it looks so attainable to like the common Joe. And I don't know, I think that's what it used to be back in the day, but now you got to be dedicated and more so you got to be passionate to the point where you're going to drive 3 hours to train with a specific coach on Tuesday. You're going to go find Neil Maddox so he can kick your ass in every workout to make you realize that like you got a long ways to go, you know, and it's that drive and that passion and even the emotional side of it, you know, having that outside influence and doing it for someone else, not only yourself. You know, I think it's super commendable. And I know we were glued here during regionals. I mean, we were glued to the monitors watching you, China. And we love you guys up there. Great friends of ours and super proud that it all went down.
Oh, thank you, guys. You're awesome.
You know it. But so, Freddie, you did come up to me a couple times at the games and you looked a little stressed and a little frazzled. Do you think that China had more fun than you did?
It's the same thing though. She's watching me at a comp too, and
I definitely had more fun than him to answer your question.
Well, not only that, but like the games, it's like it's gotten so like serious now. Like they don't even allow the coaches to be next to the athletes except for like 10 minutes before they're supposed to
warm up,
or before their warm up air time starts.
Your coach has to be within an arm's distance of you the entire time. So when you go to the bathroom, they have to wait outside the bathroom.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So that gets crazy. Like, hey, the workout's over. You're going to take her back, make sure she does everything that she needs to do to cool down, like get her water, get her food, you know, do all the stuff that you do. Like, oh, no, sorry, you can't go back there. You can't come back into the athletes area again until 10 minutes before her next warm-up time is scheduled to start. And you're like, dude, I don't want to go back there and take pictures of Rich Broning, you know what I mean, and ask for his autograph.
Although he really did want to.
Broning tried to get pictures with me. I'm like, hey, bro, maybe next time I'm a little busy.
Yeah. What, China, did you know when that swimming workout came up that you're going to crush it with your background?
Yes and no. I obviously was a swimmer. People don't realize that I was a sprinter. I swam the 50 and the 100 meter yards. And it's like, this is my analogy. Like, I'm very comfortable in the water, so that was good for me. But it's like, hey, Usain Bolt, go run 10K.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be amazing just because he was a runner.
Sure.
But when it did come up and I saw Ocean and going in and out, I was like, Well, this is going to be good for me, A, because I'm not really scared of sharks. I like the ocean. I have a swimming background. But it was very different because I've never done a swim workout with like a weighted movement involved. I've done swimming with like some air squats, a little bit of swimming, you know what I mean? So like adding 100 thrusters, 60 burpees in the sand, the surf was crazy. I was like, ooh, this is going to be weird, you know, weird. Yeah. But I kind of knew in my mind that I would have a top five finish in that, or at least I hope I would.
Now, you don't have to name any names, but there had to have been people out there that were just deathly afraid of this one.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man, the poor girl sitting next to me in the when they announced this workout, she's like, am I going to die? And I'm like, no, I'm sure you'll be fine. They'll have surfers. She's like, I don't even like to put my face in the water in the pool. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. Like, everyone got through, I think, the 1,000 or the 500. They got through the 250, the first round of sand stuff, and then the second round. I mean, that's, like, amazing that they go from, oh, God, am I going to die, to, like, completing 750 in the ocean. That's crazy. Yeah.
It reminds me, the first time I went down to Shadow with Ruiz was with Ben. And Rafael Ruiz on one of our previous episodes, and he was one of the guys who was one of the head coaches for CrossFit football before he moved on to what his new gig.
Axis or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We show up and we land, you know, you fly from LA to Tampa with two connections and it's just a shitty flight. And he's like, hey, you guys want to get something to eat? And we're like, yeah, let's do it. He's like, all right, after surf and turf. And I look at Ben, I'm like, what's surf and turf? He's like, I don't know. So we go fucking straight from the airport to the beach, and we fucking run a 3K and swim out to this buoy that had to be 10 miles away. You know what I mean? But it is the first time I've ever done an open water swim in chop like that. Like I wouldn't even call it swimming. Like I've swum in Lake Michigan in like near the harbor in the Midwest for a little triathlon deal, but it was like the real deal. And like 3 foot waves, I had no fins. I was in like, not even board shorts. I was in just basketball shorts.
Oh.
And Ruiz just swam next to me the whole time. And I'm like, man, he's really not as good of a swimmer as I thought he'd be. And turns out he gets up. He's like, I thought you were going to die out there about after about 50 meters. He's like, so I just paced you.
Yeah, but that was meters out of 10 miles. That's a long way to go.
Yeah, dude. But it was awful. It was the worst. And one thing that I've learned also training with him a couple more times, we did some pool training, is what makes the biggest thing is stress. Like if you have any stress in your system when you're swimming and you're an amateur swimmer, it is going to make it heaps and heaps harder than it has to be. If you can just relax and be comfortable and calm and collected, it's going to be a lot easier, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But no, I for sure sympathize with some of the people who just muscled through that one and did not want anything to do with it.
Yeah, poor people. I thought it was a good workout. I thought it was really creative and it was fun and going around the pier. Like, it was exciting and the coverage was great. So I like
that. Yeah, for sure.
So, China, what was your favorite workout?
My favorite workout, like to do or because I did well?
Or maybe both, but like you mentioned that the ones that you were supposed to be good at, you know,
yeah.
Felt the pressure. So
I would say I actually have two. I really liked the muscle up biathlon, even though that was the most miserable, just because it was so freaking hot. I love that one because you had to strategize. I love that they made you strategize that event. And you got penalized if, you know, you came off the ring. So I love muscle up biathlon, and I love that it was, yeah, I love the strategy involved with that. I did not enjoy that it was like a million degrees outside and I thought my skin was burning off.
Yeah. But
my second favorite workout was the second to last workout, so the thick and quick or the whatever the rope climb overhead squat one was. Yeah. That was so deceivingly hard. You're like, oh, 4 rope climbs, 3 overhead squats, holy shit. That was so hard and so awesome. I thought, yeah, like, energy was great. The event was great. It was so simple and so challenging at the same time. Those are my two favorite workouts by far.
Nice.
And China, you know, when you guys are back there and you're warming up for these workouts, do you notice how other people might be warming up And the only reason I asked that is because we've talked about this before, as far as how athletes in general, for like a competitive, you know, fitness event, how they warm up, and maybe like the results that happen if they didn't warm up properly. And I was curious if maybe through that whole ordeal, if you noticed, maybe you just kind of turned your head and saw somebody warming up and you were like, damn, what the hell are they doing? Or were you not thinking of that at all?
No, I didn't think about that much, but some people are really, really into mobility. And I'm like, damn, we're not going for 90 minutes. You've been rolling on a ball like this whole time. I'm like, I don't even think I have enough body parts to roll for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not really into that. Maybe I should be, but I'm a little behind the curve on that. But I'm like, dude, these people roll out for like 2 hours. I get tired just like watching them do that. So that,
you know, we had China, funny thing, we had Anthony Lowe on a couple times, and Ant's have you ever met Ant?
No.
Okay, he's one of our guys from Australia. He's physio, mobility, I don't know, I don't want to call him
witch doctor.
Witch doctor, dude. But he, you know, that's one of his biggest critiques, is that people think it's the classic more is more is more is more. Yeah. Like paradox, in the sense that, you know, if you need to roll out for longer than 5-10 minutes,
yeah, like
in order to do anything, person. Yeah, if you need to, then it's either psychological or something. There's a bigger issue. You know what, yeah, I mean? So
yeah,
he's, totally. And it's not necessarily that it's against it, but more isn't always more. Just like, you know, if you're trying to lose weight, you know, more activity isn't always the best activity. Exactly. It has to be the right activity and dosage. And one thing we compared and contrast to as well on that previous show is like, and this is one of Tex's biggest things, is like pregame warmups for your I looked to my pregame warmup for football back in high school.
Right. And
it was like leg swings, neck rolls, jumping jacks, go play football.
Right. There you go.
You know,
no, I'm like literally 400 to 600 meter row. A little bit of freaking hip flexor stretching, 15 air squats. All right, what are we doing?
Then do you like prime the movement patterns? And let's say it's a heavy overhead squat. Obviously, you're approaching that working weight. Is that your approach on the warm up?
Like, do I do the same thing even if it's a heavy overhead squat?
Well, I guess I assume that if you all like your pre-warm up is kind of that we call that, that's what we call it, the seminar, that pre-warm up is like, yeah, the row, hip flexors, a couple dings and dings here, but then you obviously prep the movement patterns for whatever's ahead of you, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Then I'll roll out for like 2 to 3 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, my shoulders on a softball, or, you know, warm my wrists up, and then I go.
Yeah, but the thing about at the games, though, is also you guys, like, people don't remember, is that they're in the back. They got the bars, the weights there. Everybody's working up to their one rep max overhead squat, whatever the case may be, in the warm-up area. And then they leave the warm-up area, and they don't touch a weight again for, you know, 50 minutes. You know, like, they may have a rack by where they're standing before they had to go down for the ESPN cameras and all that shit. But there's, you know, there's 40 freaking girls there, and they're all going to share three racks,
yeah,
you know, or three racks, whatever's there. So people, I think, forget about that. Like that's the thing when people practice workouts for regionals, or when they practice
you can't simulate games. You
got to try and think like, okay, now I warmed up and then I put the clock on. I did a three, you know, my three rep max in 6 minutes. Well, yeah, you warmed up right up to you started the clock, and then you start the clock. Well, at regionals, they're in the warm-up area, and then they're not touching or doing anything. This is at the regional of the games, and as coach, you know, it's something else you need to prepare for.
Yeah.
It's like you have that whole downtime between the time that you warmed up and the time that you actually do the event.
So the
warm-up is almost kind of like not overrated, but it's not practical the way that you train it at your gym, and then the way that it actually happens in any event, really, that has like a big, you know, introductions and all that shit.
Sure. The time allocated isn't optimal, I guess, to what most people do at a class or even in their training, which is warm up, then maybe 2-4 minutes, you're at it.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, my perfect example was, you know, the final workout, they took us all into seclusion, right? Like, we couldn't do anything for a couple hours. Well, about 10 minutes before they were going to send us out, they took us into this like little tiny locker room that had like two barbells in it, and your whole heat had 5 minutes to warm up for the overhead squat, because we knew what that was, on two barbells, and then whatever we thought was going to come up. And we're like, 5 minutes? We've just been sitting in this locker room for like 2 hours. Like, what are, you know? And like, I don't just get up to 165 from the ground in an overhead squat in like 3 minutes. You know what I mean? So it was like, oh shit, better get up real fast and then pray that, you know, we're warmed up for the next thing that we do, you know? So, I mean, it's like, oh, well, I did that workout at my gym and I did it just as fast as everyone. I go, you know, I used to do that. And now that I've actually been to the games, I'm like, oh man, it is not the same. And it's too hard. You cannot like copy it.
Yeah. Copy do you think that's an issue, or that is what it's just going to be? Do you think
kind of like it. I like that you just got to be prepared for anything. And I mean, knock on wood, like no one has gotten injured from it. You know, we're all pretty good, and not because of the lack of warm up or anything.
Right, right. Yeah, that's. I didn't even think of that. I didn't even know that dynamic.
Yeah, I didn't either. Because before it was do whatever you want. Now it's like you got to go here. You got to go here. You got to be here. You know. Mm-hmm. It's very different. I didn't even realize that. Like in years past, I would do the games workout and be like, oh, I would have gotten eighth in this workout, and now I do it and I'm like, oh hell no, that was totally off.
Okay, so it's been like a month, right, since the games. When did 2015 training start?
Officially kind of this week. I mean, I did Neil and a couple of other training partners and I, we did a team workout. So 2 weeks leading up to that, we did a lot of team workouts, which was crazy, high intensity, you know, but not individual stuff. This is the first week that I've started the more individualized stuff.
Are you going to get down on that team series, the CrossFit team series?
You know, I was going to, and I'm like, man, that's just, no, I don't really want, no, I'm not just going.
Yeah, not your flavor?
No, it's not that it's not my flavor. I'm going to go to Brazil with PR wraps for a team thing. I just did a team thing last weekend. I wanted to do another event in December. I just feel like I would stack a little too much on my plate by doing that.
For sure, for sure. That makes sense. And why not go to fucking Brazil? What part of Brazil?
The jungle.
Yeah, somewhere in it.
I don't know. I know it's far. Somewhere, I got to take a lot of planes.
Yeah, somewhere in Brazil where I wasn't going to let her go by herself.
Yes, Freddie's going.
Oh, private security.
Yes.
For sure, dude. That's so it's not like Sao Paulo or anything like that, like a very metropolitan place. It's like a battle of the jungle, huh?
Nah, it's like, well, I mean, it's not a coastal city. It's a, it's in the center of Brazil. I forget the name of it, but it's like, it's funny because they sent the itinerary all in Portuguese. I'm all like, I don't even fucking know what day we're going out. I had to look up the flight numbers on Delta to get it in English.
Oh, that's funny, dude. How long you got? Are you staying just in and out there? Or are you guys going to do a little vacation afterwards?
No, it's pretty in and out.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun though, I think. Yeah. The team stuff is kind of fun to, you know, get you back into it and wanting to train.
I think. Did you feel burnt out after the game? Like, not like physically, but I guess more so, I'd imagine, emotionally.
A little bit. It's hard to want to go hard. You know what I mean? It's easy when you do it with somebody else, like, hey, you go, I'll go, or we got to complete a certain amount of shit together. But like going to that place by yourself, you know, only like a week or two out. Yeah, that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
It was definitely not happening.
For sure. But let's see, what else do we got, Danny?
Let's talk about CrossFit Fremont. How's that
Freddy's
going?
New home.
CrossFit's
new home.
It's awesome. It's booming.
Yeah, man, we're signed. It's been going crazy since we got there. We started on July 1st, and just the situation just worked out great. Our co-owner, Jeff Moran, good dude. He built a good thing before we got there, so we're just kind of – He's like, I think Jeff was like getting a little overwhelmed because he moved into a bigger place and he's
bigger. So, it was like 20 times bigger.
Yeah, bigger than his old joint. And he was just doing the whole thing by himself. And he's a single dad. So us coming on board with the passion that we have for gym life, it's just been a perfect fit so far. And, you know, we're moving along and things are going good, I think.
Well, dude, I saw there has to be a bit of a learning curve for your peeps, because I was, you know, obviously creeping on the website, seeing how you guys are doing over there, and I saw a little video pop up about how to read your guys' strength portions.
I saw that too.
Yeah, dude, like, but you know what's so funny is, like, you get engrossed in a certain type of programming and understanding, and I'd say maybe 20% of the gyms out there may follow a regular strength deal like that, where you might pop in and people are like, what the fuck is this 4x4? I have no idea
Not only they had no set program, really. They were like, you know, like I heard for a while, they had he was kind of letting the trainers do the program.
For like a month at a time,
you know,
or something.
And so they didn't really have anything set. And, you know, I was like, all right, we're going to come in. We're going to get these people introduced to having a strength program. So, you know, I always run a template that's, you know, loosely based off the amateur template from CrossFit football, and it gives me a good judge of seeing what ability our people have weightlifting wise. And it's always just so easy to use in a gym setting, that template. But little, I did have trainers come back to me from, like, hey, this client's all like, oh, are we going to just strength train every day? Or, you know, are there any other CrossFit gyms around here? And for me, it's funny because I'm like, isn't everybody strength training? Go ahead, go check out another CrossFit gym. And then I go and log on to the other CrossFit gyms. Like, I'm all, oh, well, not everybody does say that. But then I go to trainers, I'm all like, hey, you know what? This is the way to program. We're a strength and conditioning gym, right? We're CrossFit, but strength and conditioning. So, like, everything is easier when you're stronger. We're gonna have strength programming, and if you don't like it, I know the two closest gyms to us are friends of mine. They don't program strength into their programming, not in a set format like we do, and I'll gladly recommend those two gyms to anybody who wants to go there and do that kind of thing. But, you know, it is a little weird. They're like, oh God, are we going to just do 5x5s
and
forever?
Like, we've only done it for 2 weeks.
so even the demigods and goddesses of this world, Freddie and China, they can't even talk to their people in strength training. That's one of Denny's seven daughters running into ambushes his call. But that's a feedback we get at every seminar. And you guys, I mean, you guys have been to, Freddie and Chad have been to maybe a dozen, two dozen of these seminars. But when we get to programming,
it's never enough.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
No, I love it. It's the best.
But every 100% every seminar, well, we get pushback from our clients that strength training is boring and they don't like it. What do you do?
They make it boring then. You know,
I know.
Mean? Like, they're like, it's, and I see coaches, but also I think that they need to work on it is that, like, first of all, there's so many goddamn CrossFit gyms now. There's so many goddamn trainers. How many? There's like a million level one trainers. Seriously, I don't know what the number is. It's fucking outrageous. But, like, how many of them have actually been to a seminar like the CrossFit football seminar where they actually get under a barbell or watch people under a barbell or people like we will. China and I are very engaging with our group. Like, we run you through the cues. I don't care if it's what the movements are, but we both also have been around long enough. And like you guys always say at the cert, we've seen so many squats. There's like not anything that we haven't seen. You know what I mean? And we're still not up to the level of seeing as many different bodies uses, but we've been around a long time. We got to train good coaches. So we're very engaging with our group. Like, we go around and we try and fix everyone. Where you get other people, they don't know shit. So they do, you know, 20-minute, 30-minute warm-up adult daycare games with their class. And then they go, okay, guys, squat 5x4, go. You got 15 minutes. And then we'll do the conditioning workout. You know what I mean? And then there's no coaching. They will walk around just, you know.
Good job.
Yeah, good job. You know what I mean? When you're in the know, you know how to think. And you walk around and you go, hey, you know what? I see your feet. Your left foot's off a little bit. Let's straighten that out. Get yourself underneath the little board. And then they do it and they feel the difference. That's very exciting for people, I think. That's what I feel. So for coaches that say, well, we get pushback from your clients, that's your lack of being a good coach. And I just wrote about it. If anybody goes on to the Fremont blog last night, a good coach is very engaging with his class. It's almost like a show.
So and dude,
you're putting another, on a show, and you got to be able to draw your group into that show no matter what you're doing. If you're going to make them do 250,000 fucking burpees for time, you know, you got to make that fucking exciting. That's not the class's fault.
Dude, it's like sometimes, you know, it's like I hope people don't get offended. But, fuck it. It's like training a dog, kind of, in the sense that people, a lot of people don't realize how big of a deal an accomplishment may be, no matter how subtle it is. So it's like it's upon the coach to be like, that's fucking amazing, you know, and engage and make them realize that they've reached a milestone. And one of the biggest milestones that people are on our linear progression in the football class at Balboa is they start to fail the linear progression. I'm like, you guys don't understand. This is your grown-up pants. Like, you are wearing grown-up pants now. This is when things get fucking real. Like, let's do this. And now that, like, we had to change that culture to the point where failure isn't necessarily failure, especially as an amateur athlete, it's essentially you becoming a trained athlete and you reaching a new physiological adaptation. And now we're going to have to tinker with things because the same old add weight every week after week isn't going to work for us anymore.
Right.
And, but like that culture change, it's just similar culture change. If you're sitting around thumb up your ass and don't know what to celebrate or don't know what to applaud or award for your strength work with your clients, then it's going to be stale. Wow. But yeah, dude, it's, you know, it's, and maybe people just don't know what to look for as well. And that's why plug time, the CrossFit football seminar is the place you got to go.
It really is.
And the one you have to go to is the one November 22nd and 23rd at CrossFit of Fremont.
That's right. That is right, dude. I'm so excited for that one. Do you have that weekend off?
I'll be there.
All right, because Levi is in his internship phase. He's like got the ass end of our internship in the sense that he does a lot of the administrative bullshit that I deal with. But we got to get him out to a seminar because I'm telling him like, oh, dude, you'll see at the seminar. You'll see at the seminar. But we got one coming up in Phoenix that he's going to be traveling out to. But definitely, dude, you got to get out to NorCal. If not to see the seminar, then definitely to meet Freddie and China because they are the best people in the world.
No joke. It's going to be a good time.
He's the director of fun.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm the executive
of fun. You cannot continue in this without meeting the director of fun.
Yeah. True. Hey, but the director of fun is going to leave you in the hands of China Cho because I had to go back to protecting the fine streets of Union City. So.
Are you on? Oh, you're going right now?
Yeah, I'm on lunch break. I came shot over here on a lunch break. So.
Oh, you're the man, Freddie. I appreciate it, dude.
Yeah, and I will see you guys in November. And thanks for having me on. And you guys have some fun. And I will talk to you guys later. All right.
All right. See you.
Thanks a lot, Freddie.
Bye. So, China, what else do we got? So, what do you anticipate different about your training this year for 2015?
You know, I like having a training group and a training partner. I would say the entire year is going to make a big difference. I'm actually gonna follow the HyperFit program. If you're unfamiliar with that, it's Doug Chapman's program, and Julie Fouché follows it, along with Pat Burke and a few other people. Neil follows it, a few other people. And I'm really excited to have a new program and adapt this, like apply this new style, I guess, to my training. I did some of it last year unknowingly when I trained with Neil leading up to regionals and the games, and I think it's awesome. So I'm real excited that Doug is going to have me on board this year.
Oh, that's legit.
Yeah.
So what's their background? You know, you hear a lot of people that talk about, you know, I'm doing the competitors WOD or I'm doing outlaw, and everyone has a different background. And, you know, obviously we're talking to you, and you don't just do the main site workouts. So kind of like, what is their background and, you know, how does that affect their programming for you and your group?
You know, I'm still learning more about him, but I know he is currently, I believe, on the level one staff. He owns his own gym. He's been Julie's coach since she started. And for me, that's more than enough credential. I mean, if you look at her, she's been in the game and on top for a really long time. And just like looking at the way that he lays out programming and strengths, weaknesses, this and this and this, like I'm just like, I have to do this. This looks, you know, this looks like shit I need to do. Yeah. And I want to be like her, you know?
Right, right.
Awesome. So like
this, I want to say Chapman is like one of the first to, you know, affiliate when CrossFit was kind of growing, maybe like the first 10 affiliates, he was one of them.
Yeah, he's OG.
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't a, it wasn't meant to be.
He was at high level one. He's a cool dude.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't like a knock on like, oh, who are these people? It was more of just like, you know, where did they get their foundation from? You know, John played in the NFL for 10 years and got a lot of his stuff while playing, and then kind of transitioned it into the CrossFit world. So I was just kind of wondering, you know, where did he learn from, basically?
I think he's just been around since the beginning. He's watched it evolve, and you know, and then obviously his programming evolves, has been evolving with the sport. So I'm just excited, like, and you just got really good people. I mean, obviously when you've been training such high level athletes, like, clearly his stuff works.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
And I mean, every program is different. There's like Invictus is a great program, you know, Outlaw's great for some people, you know, but, I mean, you just got to find something that fits, like, I guess your schedule and what you feel you need. I mean, I'm pretty sure John was the one that told me, you know, like, when you get to a certain level, it's not really the coach that makes a difference. It's like having a good program and surrounding yourself with people that make you better. So the person that's making me better right now and will continue is Neil. And that's what he follows. And that's what he's been on. So that's the route that I'm going to go.
Yeah, for sure. And it makes sense. Natural progression.
Yeah.
So let's talk less business, more pleasure.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell us about the future of Freddie Cho.
The future of Freddie Cho.
Yeah, so we know, for those of you who don't know, Freddie and Shine are engaged. I'm curious what that story was. And then, like, what's the plans? When's the wedding? When's the party? When's Freddie's bachelor party? When's his second one? When's his third one?
Yeah, I don't even know. Okay, so I'm unlike most chicks. I don't want a wedding. I mean, I want a wedding, but I don't want a wedding. I don't want a dress. I don't want a church or a venue. I just want to show up to the beach, flop around, get married, whatever. If a couple people are there, great. But I do want to have a party.
Yeah.
And a very informal, lots of food, lots of drinking, lots of dancing and fun. But I don't know about the bachelor party. I don't know about the date. I don't know about any of that stuff because I don't really care.
Yeah. So you think it's just going to kind of be like spur of the moment, get you find some availability and then try and organize it right quick?
Yeah. I mean, I know that he and I both want to get married on Maui. And that's it. I mean, ideally it would be a year from this December or January, but with my dad's health, which is actually doing really well, that could change at any moment, you know, and the location could change. So sure. I don't like have anything set in stone, and lucky for me, I don't care about like the place settings and the chairs and the candles or whatever else goes into weddings.
Yeah, dude, the complexities.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't need to deal with that. So that, and then Freddie Cho, that just sounds so good on him. We should just keep saying that. Maybe he'll change his name.
I like it.
I like my name. I think my name sounds good. My name doesn't sound good with anything but my own name.
I believe dude, China Cho just rolls out of the mouth. Dude, you know what I mean?
I'm saying if I married like a John Smith, okay, China Smith, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think my name kind of only sounds good with it. So he's going to have to change his.
And you know what? He'd probably do anything for you.
That one's going to be a little harder to do, but I hope so.
Oh, that's funny. What else do we got? So we're coming out to Fremont to see these guys in November. What else? What else is going down? Anything? What do you got going on, China?
Not too much. Like I don't know if people knew, but this is the first time I get to be a business owner, you know, a part business owner. At One World, I wasn't an owner. I just coached there and stuff. And obviously Freddie was part owner, but now I actually get to be a part owner. So there's a lot more things involved that I didn't have to do before. So, you know, not doing the team series, not doing the grid league, not doing all this stuff, kind of that, like being an owner now kind of, you know, took priority over those things.
Yeah. It's a real deal. It's all of a sudden gym life becomes work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool. Like, how many people could say I work out for a living? Like, I don't ever have to wear real clothes. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know what? I've actually been sweating since I trained this morning.
Me too.
And I haven't showered. And
me too. Me either.
Oh, by the way, I've been working. You know, right. It is.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is a different lifestyle. And when my girlfriend's parents come out and visit, and they're like, "Are you going to work?" I'm like, "Yeah." They're like, "You didn't showered or changed out your pajamas?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's because I sleep, so I don't have to change and shower." my work clothes. I'm like, all right, have fun. He's like, this is one hell of a life, you know?
It's awesome. But, I can't complain. I think it's great.
Luke, what are you guys doing out there at HQ? You still playing around with the Tendo unit?
Yeah, we had Levi on it. We had, Levi's.
All I can say is lightning speed. Lightning speed.
So,
that's it.
So trying to, a lot of our training, we've been experiencing. You know how John's always tinkering with shit, trying to find what.
I do. And you guys are the guinea pigs. I'm so sorry. I feel so bad for you.
Yeah. So he bought a Tendo unit, which is this little pulley system that calculates bar velocity, bar speed, peak velocity.
It's a fucking cable attached to your barbell, right? It's not. Yeah. You're not standing on something. It's a little like fishing line.
Yeah, it is.
Janky, or is it like legit?
It's legit. It's like it's straight out of Russia.
Well, of course.
Because it's like all from the crazy Russian sports scientists. But it's legit. It's definitely. It gives you immediate response if you're doing volume type of work. And you're focusing on bar speed. It tells you exactly what your average bar velocity is. It tells you peak velocity. And, that's one thing Levi mentioned, and it is a great way to put it, like immediate response. Like you may be consciously focusing on moving the bar as fast as you can, but when you can have it calculated, it changes how you approach your next rep.
Is he having you do, like a million power cleans for time?
No, it's actually the complete opposite. What we're trying to do, and it stemmed off of one of our coaches at Balboa and one of our athletes, Chelsea. I don't know if you've met Chelsea, but she's a football player. Yeah. Okay, so we watched her play some football. We need to get her bigger and stronger, and this was a year ago. So she gets bigger and stronger. But she's jacked now. So she's like, she's nice and big and strong, but nice. She's lost a step. And not only that, we tested out her vertical jump and it was not as good as it was last year. Cause you know how we bring the Vertec to like regionals and stuff. And we're like, Chelsea, what happened? She's like, it doesn't make sense. I've put 20 kilos on my back squat this year.
I did see her squat like 100 for 5.
Yeah, dude. So she's like super strong now. And this is also after an ankle injury. So we're like, we make some calls. John talks to Louis. John talks to Romanoff. Like John talks to Hatfield. John talks to Ripto and goes like calls these big names about it. And they all were like, bar speed. It's got to be bar speed. Really? So what we're doing. So that's what we ended up doing is working on more. So what we refer to at the seminar and during the squat lecture, compensatory acceleration, we refer to Dr. Hatfield's work on it. And the idea is essentially you can operate at lower percentages of your true force production to increase maximal force production as well as power. But what has to be true is you have to be moving the bar at a certain velocity, and that velocity has to be increasing through the concentric phase as mechanical advantage increases. So that's been like the biggest training thing we've been doing now, which is interesting because lifting weights in terms of when we go do our rep maxes and stuff, you walk away and it's a certain type of fatigue where you feel like compressed. Okay. Right. Like, wow, that was heavy. That was heavy on my back. It was heavy pushing into the bar.
Right.
And now the fatigue is like, I can't go any faster. Like I'm trying to go as fast as I can. I can't. I'm fried. My CNS is fried. My higher firing order motor units are fried. Like I could still lift heavy weight, but it's just slow, you know? So
go ahead, dude. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's, we've been doing that with our benching, with our pressing, with our deadlifting, with our power cleans, with our squatting. And that's what we've been doing most of the dynamic work on. And we're operating at, we've calculated our training max to be, we've used 90% of our RMs, like our true RMs to reach what we would consider our training maxes. And then from there, we're operating between 70 and 85%
of
in terms of our loads. Yeah, of that training max.
Right.
So that's pretty counter, you know, I guess what we were always training before. And I'm not like, you have to be relatively advanced lifters for this to really, truly work. If you're one of those guys at Fremont or Balboa or even who've been following football and you haven't spent a few years under the barbell, just kind of greasing the gears, greasing the groove, lifting weights, this may not be the way to train for you. So that's my disclaimer to everyone listening. But what we do know about Chelsea, she's been lifting weights consistently for 3 years under the bar doing CrossFit football. So now we're tinkering with this bar speed with her to see if it gets her a little bit quicker on her sprints and plyos and stuff. So that's what we're working with primarily.
But that's why, like, you guys are so cool. You're always trying to find a new way to evolve and a new way to make people better. You're not stuck in the same rut. You know what I mean? Like, that's why your shit's so cool. And that's why Freddie and I have been to your seminar so many times, because every time I go there, I'm like, wow, I totally missed that last time. Or, ooh, they've added this. You know what I mean?
Right.
I always
take
a handful of things away, no matter, like, how many times I've gone.
And that's our objective, is you can keep coming back and learning more, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what we're tinkering with back here. And today was Levi's first time on the Tendo unit, and it was interesting. It was good. You didn't do bad.
I'm not gonna lie. When you first said Tendo unit, I thought you said Nintendo, and I'm like, Nintendo? Wow.
That's an A+ for me, no doubt.
Dude. But let's see. You got anything to plug, China? You got any sponsors or anything you want to shout out?
Any sponsors? Oh, well, Freddie and I just signed with Nutriforce, and they're a supplement company. And I never took supplements. I mean, John tried to get me on creatine. Amy tried to get me on creatine, pre-workout, BCAA. I did it for like a day and was like over it. And I'm not going to lie, their shit tastes so good. And I feel amazing. Like I only do the fish oil, glutamine, amino acids, and their protein. And it's awesome. And it tastes delicious. So shout out to Nutriforce, because their product is badass.
Yeah, we've experimented some of their stuff, and I had no problems with it. But I'm kind of like you, China, where it's like, I'm just not, like, I got better. I'm not into it, you know?
And I know, just give me a banana or something.
For sure, for sure. And like I tell people at the seminar, I just like to eat my nutrients. I just like eating. You know, I'll have a meal rather than prep a shake or something like that. But
that's me too.
There is a lot of quite a bit of literature that taking that stuff in bolus, like in a powdered form, is extremely beneficial to recovery and training. So I'm not shitting on the product working or not, but for me, it's just I'm not into it.
Yeah, no, you know, I wasn't either, but you know, at the games, that's what everyone was doing, and everyone better than me, everyone that finished before me. And you know what? I'm jumping on that bandwagon, because right now I feel great. And like, you get to a certain level and it's like, well, what am I going to do different? You know, like this year, you know, this past year, you know, it's cutting out alcohol sooner, you know, and or whatever. But I'm going to try this, and I feel good so far. So far, so good. Hopefully that continues.
Good stuff. Well, Denny, is there anything useless you want to talk about?
Oh gosh, got like so Nintendo. Much useless information.
All right, fine, Nintendo. Let's bust out a little Nintendo trivia. Levi.
Oh, I'm horrible. Trivia. I don't want to be in that.
Denny, did you ever play Nintendo?
Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Brothers.
So just a side story.
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. These were like the classic Nintendo games that I played.
All right, fine. Here's a little trivia. Who was the first fighter in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out that Little Mac fought?
Glass Joe?
Glass Joe.
Dang.
Right away, dude. Fucking not even 2 seconds it took me to figure that out. Glass Joe.
Good job.
So my dad, because I know he won't probably be listening to this, so I don't mind saying it, but we used to play Mario Brothers, and he would send us to bed early so he could play it and master the game. And so one day he finally beat it, and he had us get out, you know, the big old tape recorder with the huge tapes and everything, and he was like recording himself dancing around like that he beat the game. So, we were Mario Brothers, and I think Excite Bike a little bit too, a little Skate or Die.
Oh, Skate or Die.
Yeah.
So like in Super Mario Brothers, there was, even back then, there was like codes that you could, you know, up, down, A, B, A, B, A, you know what I mean? to get like reverse worlds. You remember that kind of stuff? Like you get, instead of daytime, it would be night. Every time the dude would shoot a fireball, he would grow into like the big version of himself, and just crazy shit even back then, man.
One thing about Mario and Luigi as well, amazing arm swing, great vertical jump.
I was kind of impressed with their vertical jump too.
Yeah, for sure.
Good acceleration too. If you hold down B and you push forward, that's pretty good acceleration. So,
terrible agility.
Yeah,
because they would just slide, and then cut and change direction. All right. Well, this show's gone off the rails, and we've kept China long enough. Appreciate it, China. Thanks for popping on.
Thank you so much for having me, and Freddie.
Always awesome catching up with you guys. Miss you, and I can't wait to see you guys.
I know. We're so excited for you guys to come. Everyone needs to sign up for that cert, too, because it's going to be amazing.
It is. It's going to be our best one.
Hell yeah.
All right, guys.
We'll have another one at our gym, and then that one will be the best one.
Perfect. Let's do it. All right, I'm out of here. It's been
bye, guys. Thank you.
See you later, China. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Bye, China.
Bye.
Now it's time for you to empower your performance. Stay up to date with CrossFit Games competitor China Cho or Freddie Camacho on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Super simple, just search for their name, China Cho, Freddie Camacho. If you're in the NorCal area, make sure you stop by their gym, CrossFit of Fremont, for a real coaching experience. Also, these two crazy cats have one of the best training playlists to date. Check out our Spotify page or go to the blog post of this episode to have a listen. It is definitely one of my go-to selections for training. Next week, we welcome the amazingly notorious Steph Godreau of Stupid Easy Paleo. She's got some great new projects in the works, so be sure to tune in. Until next time, bye!